This podcast is dedicated to those that are in the mix, making it happen, and want to do better, better at everything. Each episode, our guest will help us be better, do better, and perform better. We will tackle topics that we all deal with in business and in life.
If this is your first visit to the Wireless Way, welcome. And if it's not, welcome back. Glad to have you. Took a little break from recording for a couple of months as I ramped up the new job at Telaris, a technology distributor, also known as a master agent. And I'm just so excited to come back and be on there with you guys. Today I have a great partner out of Vancouver, British Columbia. And let's listen to what he has to share with us. Thank you for joining another episode of The Wireless Way. I'm your host, Chris Whitaker, and today I'm really privileged and honored to have one of our trusted partners, Kyle Radick, with us. Kyle is the lead consultant at Technically Consulting and has over 15 years' experience in telecommunications and software for business communications and collaboration. With the advancement of technology and the need to integrate basic telco services with software in the last few years, he's found a gap in the market. And in working with telcos and his clients' IT teams, it became apparent that there was a serious need for a service that assisted these organizations with the process of streamlining communications and finding the right solutions. Kyle has a passion for business. He loves getting to know how an organization works, what they feel they need help with, and identifying areas they may not even know they can improve upon. I think that's the real trick of a consultant, right? Helping you solve problems you don't even know you have. So that's why he started Technically Consulting. And interesting side note, when Kyle is not hard at work, he spends most of his free time with his family. And when he does find a little time for himself, he enjoys craft beer and riding motorcycles. And he jokingly told me, but never at the same time. So Kyle, man, thanks for joining us. Thank you for making time. How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Thanks a lot for having me here, Chris. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, that's a pleasure. You know, anytime we can get together as professionals and talk about life and share stories and you know, maybe what's the saying, iron sharpens iron. I think it's always a conversation worth having. So we read your bio, Technically Consulting, 15 years experience in general technology solutions. Tell me a little bit more about your journey. I mean, now, how did you get here? And, you know, what was your inspiration to start your own company?
Sure. No, I appreciate that. I mean, realistically, I started out as a sales guy selling cell phones in the mall back in the early 2000s when there was, you know, a couple of flip phones and a BlackBerry with a wheel on the side. You know, the furthest my technology advancement went at that point was, you know, a little bit of fleet tracking kind of stuff. You know, fast forward years later, now I've been working with businesses, for years. We look at their organization, you know, what they do, how they operate, how many people work there, what's working, what's not. And I kind of fast forwarded right to today, but basically that's it. You know, I started working with just basic cell phone needs and that sort of thing. But it's really advanced over the years with all these different system integrations and, you know, having your smartphone synced with your calendar and being able to track where your vehicles are from your desktop computer and that sort of thing. And we've talked about this before, but realistically, when I say there's a gap in the market is that the average IT person and even the sharpest of IT people, they have a hard time putting all these pieces together and really doing their due diligence to find the right solution for the right price that's going to work for their organization.
Mm, excellent. You had mentioned a couple of my favorite solutions, you know, even with fleet tracking, you know, in the area of IoT, do you have a favorite solution you think is a real game changer, whether it's mature today or it's up and coming?
Well, I think it depends where you are. You know, in my region, we're a little behind, I think, but SD-WAN, and how it works with 5G and IoT, I think is where there's a real game changer about to happen. We're seeing it a little bit. You know, I won't bring up any client names or anything at this point, but there's definitely some people taking advantage of things like being able to have one, I call a single pane of glass. So an administrator can have, you know, on their desktop computer or from even a smartphone or a tablet, They can see all their stuff, to keep it simple, right? They can see all their sites. They can see all their network access points. They can see all their machines. They can see all their people and phones, and be able to do sort of like a health check from again, I call it a single pane of glass or one dashboard, so that I'm not having to sit in 15 different windows to see all my stuff.
Yeah. You nailed it. I agree with you on that. And, you know, as you talk to your business clients, is there a trend you notice of, you know, maybe their shortfalls or their gaps in their technology stack? I mean, is there something that you just kind of know you're probably going to see each and every time, or is it all over the map?
Yeah, and you're going to have to pardon my term. You might want to edit this out later, but is it they've got too many throats to choke? Right. And I alluded to this by talking about the different panes of glass and software they have to use, is that they're responsible for so many different things. And again, I'll speak in the eyes of an operations manager or an IT professional. They've got so many different things they're responsible for, so many people leaning on them, and they're having a hard time finding how to get these things connected. And I mean, you're never going to get a single pane of glass, but it's really trying to reduce these things, reducing the amount of touch points, reducing the amount of simple things like how many different logins does somebody have, that sort of thing. And yeah, generally speaking, I think that the gap that they see is that, hey, they understand basic telco stuff. Hey, we understand basic IoT stuff. Hey, we understand network stuff, but that's great, right? What you need though is a guide, somebody that knows that world enough to be dangerous, I call it, and know who the contacts are. I mean, everybody knows somebody at the big telco down the road and the big software company, but knowing who to talk to for what solution, you know, who's going to be the implementation manager for that. I think that's where the common gap is that the things get a little bit too generalized, and I help people to see kind of down the path a little further.
So yeah, you mentioned there's so many different options and suppliers and vendors that any business can use, and your organization kind of simplifies that. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about the supplier relationship. So you must work with several different suppliers, vendors, carriers, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, what kind of expectations do you have in dealing with your suppliers? And kind of describe for me, what does that ideal supplier vendor relationship look like to you?
Yeah, you know, I don't even like telling people this. We have over 200 connections now. Working with you as well, Chris, and we use about a dozen of them. You know, at the end of the day, the ideal supplier relationship is when I have somebody that represents the supplier. They usually, you know, they have a title like channel manager or something like that, and you know, they've got their finger on the pulse of not just what my expectations are as a partner of theirs or somebody that's, you know, frankly bringing business to their organization, but they also have their finger on the pulse of the industry, what the client looks like. They're not trying to get, you know, too granular or laser focused on certain verticals or lines of business. They have a good general understanding of the technology world and what people's needs are, what some of the trends are. And then frankly, not to be negative, but when things go sideways for an implementation or maybe, you know, right. And through a sales cycle, you know, the customer's getting to know the new vendor and there's something that's not quite working. You know, the best relationship is when I have a channel manager that steps in and says, hey, no, I know how to solve this and gets us back on track. You know, a good vendor relationship is somebody that can understand the sales cycle side of things, call it, and the implementation cycle, and then what I call a day two. Once the job's done, the customer's using the service now, we need to have an organization that's not so many silos. And this is what we see, these, especially with the bigger publicly traded organizations, there's a great big silo for sales. There's a great big silo for implementation. There's a great big silo for customer service and marketing and all these different places. And then they're not always properly talking to each other. And that's another thing I try to pride myself on is sort of connecting the gaps between those silos, even within a vendor's organization.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, having been on the supplier side myself with some large companies, I mean, you're spot on. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But the good channel managers that are out there, you know, and if you're a channel manager listening, please take note. I mean, this is the way you win the hearts and minds of partners, is to be know, that Sherpa, if you will, or you know, guide them through this maze of this corporate company and know who to call, know who to call when there's a chink or some kind of constraint in the sales cycle, the order's held up, maybe some kind of order acceptance process has been delayed, or the permit for construction hasn't been found. I think that's just so important, you know, to add value. You know, you can't just collect the signed contracts. You got to add value and be there even after the sale. So I like how you said that.
Well, I think, you know, I'm kind of stuttering, biting my tongue here a little bit, because there's probably some guys we know that are going to listen to this. But what we find in my world, and that's, you know, a partner who's helping guide a customer to the right vendor. What we're finding in our world is we're getting a ton of communication, email, webinars. You know, at one time, you know, summits and meeting in person and all these big events and enticing us with gift cards to come and check out their new widget and what's it. And that's great. There's a ton of focus on that. The marketing guys are doing a great job. Where I find the gap is again, it goes back to the, I don't want to repeat myself, but it goes back to these different silos, is that, you know, they're doing everything they can. I call it front loading to get us there or to get the customer there. But then they're dropping the ball when it comes to some simple stuff like sales cycle. I know you and I were chatting once again, without naming vendors or clients' names. You know, we were talking about, you know, an IoT organization that has an amazing product, amazing people. But what happens is they start to have these other vendor partners within their offering. You know, they have a logo, but really under that logo is other vendor partners as well. And what I'm finding is, you know, we have our channel managers that we talked about, but our direct account managers or sales representatives for these vendors are getting caught in the mud, so to speak, with their own internal vendor partner relationships, right? So if you have, for example, you might have a telecommunications company that offers an IoT solution or a fleet tracking solution, but it's not theirs. It's not the AT&T fleet tracking company, right? They're reselling or white labeling or in some way bringing in a partner for a certain solution. And again, what we lose is through the sales cycle and the process of just simple things like getting a quote and a demonstration. And to step back again, hey, you've been trying to ram this down our throats for the last 2 months and go to all these webinars and sales meetings and everything to do this. And now here we are. And it's taken 2 weeks to get a demonstration for the customer, right? And that's where, you know, that's what, you know, really grinds my gears, so to speak, is I came to the big show. I've seen all the emails. Yeah. I replied to some of them even. And now here we are. We've got a warm body in front of us ready to go. And where are you guys? And on the back end, they're saying to guys like you, Chris, they're saying, Chris, what can we do? Hey, how do we get in front of more of your customers? How can we do better? And the answer is once we're ready to go, be ready to go. A little bit less time on marketing.
Execution, right? That's another E word. I love the E&E. I use E&E a lot in my conversations around IoT, being efficiency and effectiveness. And I can add a 30, execution, right? It's easy to get my attention and get me to the dance. But now the music's playing. Let's dance. Let's make this happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm all dressed up. Let's go.
I'm ready to go. What's next? Oh, man. You're spot on that. There's so much to take away from that. I mean, you're right. There's a lot of money spent into marketing and channel manager sales training. I agree with you. I think there's a lot of work we can do. And even in my role, I try to work with my supplier partners to say, hey, you know, how can we increase the efficiency, the effectiveness of the execution? Ultimately, that's what it's all about, is adding value to your customer's business. And if that's not going so well, that's a problem, right?
I'm with you there. And this, you know, it's hard not to repeat ourselves. I think, Chris, you and I could go on for an hour about the intricacies of just this one piece alone. But that's really what it comes down to, is that sometimes the marketing team doesn't even understand the abilities, or the channel manager might not even understand the abilities for their extended team to execute once it's go time.
Just to summarize it, I think that's, you know, for my supplier partners, having spent most of my career as a supplier, I think that's the key takeaway. A great PowerPoint deck, great collateral, great sales training, Yeah, that'll get you there. But if you don't focus and spend as much time and energy on execution and delivering the goods and the entire sales cycle experience, you know, in fact, another guy did a podcast recently. We were talking about the customer experience and he corrected me. He goes, no, it's customer outcome. That's what you got to focus on. You can give someone a great experience, but if the outcome isn't what they're looking for, you just wasted everyone's time. So, yeah, that's our challenge as an industry is how can we focus on the outcome and the end product, especially from the supplier side. So thanks for those comments, Kyle. You're spot on. And moving on a little bit, in your bio, I told you I was going to ask you about this, craft beers and motorcycles. So I guess first, you know, what institutes of craft beer? Do you make your own beer? Do you have a certain brewery you go to? Tell us about your motorcycle.
Yeah, so I think with, you know, with craft beer, I joke that, you know, I finally figured out how to pick out a wine, and now I go into a beer store and, you know, it's like picking a bottle of wine these days. There's so many different ways to make beer these days, and I just really, I think craft beer or small batch brewing, I like trying out different beers from different places. So it's pretty rare these days that I'd go in and buy a 12 pack of one kind of beer. It's usually a 6-pack of five or six different ones. And I just love trying them out. I think it's fun. I love introducing new ones to people. I like hearing the stories of where they come from. You know, where I'm from on Vancouver Island, there's a young man, last name Phillips, that started Phillips Brewing. It was a small batch brewing company that's, you know, now on the taps of just about any pub and restaurant on the West Coast. And I love those little stories. Wow. And it goes back to, I love businesses. I love knowing the story. I love knowing how it actually operates. I love understanding what the intricacies of it, the things they're up against. And I especially love saying, hey, well, you know, I've dealt with a similar situation with one of my other clients. Maybe you might want to try this. And so sorry to kind of go give my business another plug there, but that's really, it's in my blood. I love business. I love understanding how a craft brewery works or whatever that might look like.
Quick side story, and I always have to interject my own side stories into these, but so I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and there's a kind of a sports bar called Taco Mac. So if you're in the greater Atlanta area, you know Taco Mac. They got literally, I think, close to 30 restaurants. And they have a beer club there, Kyle. You would love it. They generally have about 100 beers on tap and usually a couple hundred beers in bottle or cans. And they have a club called Brewniversity, and you get a unique point every time you drink a different beer, okay? And they have like a point system. I think 125 points, you get a bachelor's degree, and 250 points, you get your master's degree, and so forth, all the way up to, like, you know, the dean. So I did that. I came to Atlanta several years ago, and I thought, man, this is really cool. I love beer. This is like a game. We can have beer. In fact, it was such a great – talking about loyalty and marketing, I couldn't go drink beer anywhere else because I had to get a point. You know, I had to get my points up, and I had a great time doing it and literally got my master's degree in what they call brewology. All of that – and this is going to break your heart. I hope you don't think less of me. All of that to figure out I'm a Coors Light guy. That's like my beer now. I just drink Coors Light because I can get it everywhere. It's you know, $4 or whatever instead of $8. So all of that, like, yeah, I've tried pretty much every IPA that I can think of, but I'm a Coors Light guy, so that's kind of boring, right?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I can relate. You know, I got really into the super hoppy IPAs and that sort of thing. And at the end of the day, sometimes I just want to go and get a 12 pack of Budweiser. Right. It's a hot summer day. I'm not looking for a, you know, something that's a little more thick bodied. I just want a nice, refreshing beer. So I'm with you there. I'm definitely, you're not breaking my heart. I think we're of the same mindset. You know, sometimes you just want some good old regular American beer, right?
Longer, yeah. All right. Now to the Fast and Furious part. Tell us about your rides, man. Do you have one, two, or what kind of motorcycles do you ride?
I've had a lot of different ones. I've went through. So I'll say this. I first started just, you know, when I was a younger guy riding off-road motorcycles. I had a bit of a late start. I mean, when I say I was a young guy, it was back when I was about 25. I got my first off-road motorcycle or dirt bike. Over, you know, 5 or 6 years, I morphed into being on the street a bit more. I always had this idea that I would love to have a, you know, like a Harley Davidson and road cruise and do all these things. And the more I got into street riding, the more I realized that actually I enjoy being out in the woods or on the backside of a mountain on a motorcycle. And it's, to me, it's almost kind of like a Zen mode kind of thing for me. You know, you're only thinking about the next corner. You're not thinking about, you know, that report you need to have done for your customer, that sort of thing. You're just there. And I find that when you're on the road, you can get a little bit more casual and kind of looking at the scenery and thinking about what the week looks like. And I really just enjoy off-roading. So to answer your question, I've got two motorcycles now. One is a KTM 690. It is like a Swiss Army knife of motorcycles. So it's 690 cc's, but it's under 300 pounds. You're able to use it in the woods, and you can also go pretty quick on the highway with it. So that's my bigger motorcycle. I've had motorcycles with engines twice that size, and my smaller motorcycle, my newest motorcycle, is a Beta. It's a 390 cc. So Beta is a motorcycle company out of Italy. As far as I'm concerned, Beta is sort of the Ducati of dirt bikes. It's an amazing machine. I refer to her as a Beta Betty, and I say she's a lady in the streets and a freak in the woods. So, you know, Betty's, you know, just a little 390 cc bike. She'll get you around and on, you know, highway speed and that sort of thing. But you know, when you're in the woods, that's her place. You know, it's about 100 pounds lighter than my other bike. I can do what I call tight single track riding. So where I live in the foothills of Mount Benson on Vancouver Island here in Canada, I can get on my bike and go and disappear for 6 or 8 hours up the backside of the mountain and down logging roads. And there's my favorite is we call single track riding. A lot of it's hill climbing. It's tight stuff. You can't be on the big, heavy 690 bike. You need to have a smaller bike to do that and have a good day. Or otherwise you feel like an old man if you're on the heavier bike. But yeah, that's my thing, man. When I've got some time to myself, if my family's busy doing something else, hey, I'm getting up early. I'm getting on my bike. I'm getting out in the woods and just enjoying nature and some time to myself.
Yeah, you mentioned family. What's the makeup of your family? Kids? And tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my partner's name's Celine. We've got two little boys named Gage and Dax. So Gage is about 3 and a half now, and Dax is going to be 2 years old this weekend.
Wow.
So at one point we had two under two, and we figured let's get her done. You know, let's not spread this out. So Gage and Dax, they're best buddies and brothers. They're close enough in age. They're about 19 months apart. They're just amazing kids. And that's one part of my career and my business is that, you know, I'm always working, but I'm also always at home.
That's great.
And I love you. You know, I'm right now, I'm in my home office downstairs. They're in daycare today. They go to daycare a few days a week. And I have a real nice, I call work-life harmony where, you know, there's two Fridays a month where I just don't work. I've got my boys those days and we're doing stuff. And, you know, sometimes if you're my client, you're getting an email reply to me on Saturday at 8 o'clock at night, but that's how it works for me. When I'm free away from my children, I'm free for my clients.
So many people in our industry struggle with that work-life balance. And I think over this last year and a half, it's really challenged some, but for a lot of us, I think we have realized to find that balance is good for our customers too. It's good for our colleagues. You know, try to be less stressed, right? Just be focused and be in a good mood. and when you're off work, enjoy your time with your friends and family. That's important too.
And to expand on that just a bit more, I've had a lot of things where, you know, somebody will call me, a client will call me at, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. They say, "Hey man, I'm really sorry." Or, "Hey, thanks for taking my call." And I said, "Hey man, don't be sorry. If I was busy on having a romantic dinner with my girl or watching a movie with my boys, I wouldn't be answering the phone right now. But I'm not doing anything, so here I am."
I'm ready.
Right?
So, you know, on that note, back to your clients. You know, something that I've done this journey recently is the art of diagnostic questioning. You know, salespeople, we always, you know, I've heard so many partners say, you know, "Well, I just go in and ask for their phone bill and tell them I'm going to save them 30%. And that's kind of their shtick. How do you handle that when you bring on a new client or you get that first meeting? What type of diagnostic questions are you looking for to best help them?
What you're saying there, Chris, with the, you know, get the bill, do a quick check, you know, see if we can save some money. That's kind of the direct salesperson model, I think. When you're representing a vendor directly, there's not much else to look at. Hey, we do the same thing as the guys down the street, but I think we do it a little better. I think we do it a little cheaper. Let's see your bill, see what I can do. And that's a good approach if all you have to offer is XYZ telco. In my world, I use a term a lot, sitting on the same side of the table as a customer. Mr. Customer, I'm not here to try to convince you of the features and benefits and advantage of the XYZ company. I'm here with you. Let's get to know you. Let's get to know your organization. And I often have to say, this is a little, maybe seems cart before the horse or backwards or, you know, from a regular sales cycle. But realistically, what I want to know is, what do you have? What's working? What's not? What would you like to have? And I'm sorry to oversimplify it. I mean, I get into things like, how many computers do you have? What type of email client do you use? How many vehicles do you have? Are you doing anything to track where they are today? How do you manage your fuel budget? And I can get pretty granular, but it depends what the conversation is. So I'm trying to answer this for you without getting too detailed is that I'm really all about getting to know, who are you? How are you? What can we do for you? And
is it fair to say it's more of a business conversation than it is a technology?
It is. And this is why, like, I don't know if you noticed it or if I've mentioned it before, but my company's called Technically Consulting. I'm making fun of myself a little bit with that name. Right? Consultants are usually your semi-retired IBM guy that's, you know, talk the talk and walk the walk and stands at the front of the boardroom. That's not really me. I was a sales guy that started out selling cell phones in the mall, and I got pretty good at doing a few things. And at the end of the day, I'm technically consulting because I'm not just representing one vendor anymore, right? I'm representing you, and I compare it to kind of like a mortgage broker. Right? Everybody understands that model. You can go straight to the bank, or you can go straight to five different banks, or you can talk to one guy or gal, and they can find you the best product for your situation. And I think that's the thing. You know, you started this by saying, you know, let's reduce it by 30%. Hey, reducing by 30% might reduce your production by 30%. We don't know what we're, you know, unless I know what you're doing and how I can help you, this isn't all about money. And I know that's a cliche, but realistically, I'm looking to save time and money. Operational efficiency. We're not just talking about comparing some bills and seeing if we can find a faster horse for a lesser price. What we want to do is make sure that you have the right tools, right? And that's why we're asking things. What type of CRM system do you use? You know, so, and I'd have to preface a lot of my conversations like this. Hey, I'm going to ask you some stuff that you might be wondering, why the heck is Kyle asking us this? Right? It's none of his business how many trucks we have in the field. We're talking about our cell phone bill, right? So.
Well, yeah, and I like how you did that, because to me, I always think in communications and business, setting a proper expectation just makes it so much more pleasant for both parties. And you nailed it right there, because I have partners go, well, I'm just uncomfortable asking those questions. And I'm like, well, tell them why you're asking, because ultimately we're trying to do more than just upgrade their internet connection. You want to find out where else in their business is there a need or a problem or a budget issue or maybe too much waste or safety issues, or you could go on and on. So yeah, I like how you did that, man. Setting a proper expectations. And I think that goes for the supplier partners too, you know, setting expectations with us as selling partners, right? That just makes the relationship even.
Yeah, Chris, you know, this isn't something I need to explain to a guy with your tenure, but these young guys and gals that are, they're saying, well, you know, I'm not really sure about asking those questions. That's really what it comes down to. Just be your authentic self. What are you here to do, right? If you're here to save Mr. Customer 30% on their bill, then just tell them that, right? But if you're there to do something else and you want to get a little deeper, then let them know why. And Chris, the reason why you and I know these things is because 10 years ago, somebody said, Chris, why the hell are you asking me all these questions?
Most likely. Right? Most likely. So as we wrap up our time together, I don't know if you have Now, anything else you want to share about your company or maybe a recent client that you help with a particular situation? Is there anything else you could share with us to tell us a little bit more about a day in the life of Cal Radick at Technically Consulting?
Yeah, I think, and in this sense, I would be speaking sort of to the IT people and operations managers of the business world, is that, you know, you really need a guide with this stuff these days. I'm really passionate about that. There's not much stuff I spend, there's not much time I spend trying to convince people of stuff these days. One thing that I am trying to convince people of is that you need somebody to guide you with this. And most partners of yours, Chris, and people like me, we're not even charging for our time, right? My consulting time is on the house. What we're doing is hey, if I end up taking you to XYZ telco and you get a new deal there, well, XYZ telco is going to pay us. But I think they get a little too wrapped up in, well, now I got to pay this guy and how much is this going to cost? And I think that, you know, people think that usually consulting has an hourly rate or a contract rate. And at the end of the day, the business world needs to know that there's people like you and I that are here as guides to help them find the right solution. And to not worry about paying that. And the other side of that double-edged sword is that sometimes they don't want to waste our time because maybe they're not quite sure if that's the thing that they're looking for, right? But we're just always trying to reassure people, hey, you know what? We're just happy to have an opportunity to sit down and talk with you. And frankly, I love getting to know your business, right? And it takes a lot, I think, to just to get people's guard down these days that, hey, we're not just here to convince you of something. Let's see what we can do.
That's right. I mean, that's what I love about my job is I feel like we get to – first of all, we get to make new friends. We get to help them solve problems. Oh, and by the way, we can make a living doing it. I mean, that's kind of a win-win-win, right?
You got it, man. I know I don't have to explain that to you, but again, that's the only thing I feel like I need to convince anybody of these days.
Well, Kyle, thanks for your time, man. It's been a pleasure to get to know you a little bit more. Man, two little guys, and motorcycles and craft beers and technology. You got a lot going on in your life and you make it look so easy and sound so pleasant. So hats off to you. Congratulations on doing it right. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Oh, Chris, man, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your kind words and thank you for the opportunity to get to know you a bit more through this process.
You bet. All right, well, that's it. Another episode of The Wireless Way. Please check out other episodes and like, comment, and subscribe. I really appreciate it. And if you know someone else that may have an interesting story that we can all learn from, please contact me at chris@thewirelessway.net.
That felt good. I enjoyed getting back in the studio and recording another episode. So check us out. We got more episodes planned, largely around IoT, maybe some blockchain and crypto, and how IoT is going to change the world as we know it. So love to hear your input and any advice or suggestions you have. Thanks for visiting The Wireless Way. Have a great day.